Monday night, or Lehei Sivan. Chagas talking about Kniya, and everybody here, including myself, was sitting reading it, smiling at the beautiful poetry. But, you know, he really wants you to think about these things and develop Kniya towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's there to say? You know, you're reading about death, and he's having this description of the putrid body that the body becomes in death, and how all your hopes and dreams and aspirations and plans and ideas and goals, they're all, and you stink like you never took a bath before in your life. You know, these are things that he really wants you to think about them. Not every day, not every minute. And as we said in the last parak, he doesn't want you to be sad. You're not supposed to go through life being sad. These things are not supposed to make you sad. They could very well make you sad, but he doesn't want it to. You're striking a balance. On one hand, you're terribly grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gives you chayim. And in between these periods of the first thing you're supposed to think about and the third thing you're supposed to think about, you have a life, and you have a very, very pleasure-filled life and an enjoyable life, and you do things and you accomplish things and you create things and you have goals. It's all true, and that's the truth is, in Shaar HaBechina and Shaar HaAvodas HaElokim, he develops the thought that that's why you have to be even more grateful to Hashem, because all these things are really true. And still, Hashem gives you a life of pleasure and accomplishment and health, for the most part. What I mean, for the most part, yeah, there are people that are sick, but you know, you're supposed to look at people that are sick and say, "Wow, you know, it that didn't happen to me. Look at all the things. You go to a hospital, you see all the things that can go wrong with the human body." So when you think about these things that the Chazal is talking about, it's not supposed to make you sad. It's supposed to make you nichna and realize how utterly dependent you are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the point of this whole shiur. Why didn't he just say it? What did he need a whole shiur for? Just like in Shiur Yichud HaMaisa, he needed a whole shiur to say you should do things L'Shem Hashem, and he needed the whole shiur bitachon to say have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here also he needs a whole shiur to say you have to be nichna to Hashem, because it's a very hard thing to do, probably the hardest, and probably a raya that it's the hardest is because the Chavis Halvavis in places throughout the Sefer considers that the piece of that's being an Eved Hashem. If you have to sum up being an Eved Hashem in one word, the word is Kniya. He says that in Shaar HaAvodas HaElokim. Being Nichnat HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Avdus that he wants. It's manifested in many forms. It's manifested in our doing his Ratzon. When you're Nichnat to someone, you do his Ratzon. And his Ratzon is that we do A, B, C, D down the line. We're Nichnat to him and we do his will. Now the funny thing is, he doesn't need it. His will is that we end up benefiting from it. And that should really make us happy. Because, you know, we're being nichna, but we're not being nichna to do slave labor for someone else's benefit. We're being nichna and doing his will, which is that we should end up being the beneficiary of whatever it is we're doing. That's a pretty good deal. Anyway, so the Avodas Hashem is in being nichna. And so number three was that. Number four was to contemplate how far we are from really from fulfilling our mandate, because we're supposed to, especially according to the Chavis Halvavis, I would venture to say it's very, what the Chavis Halvavis would like is that we do every single mitzvah out of a sense of gratitude to Hashem. That's why we're doing it. Well, I don't know why, maybe it is why. We're doing it in the context of being thankful to Hashem. And Hashem, if you want me to do this, I will do this because I I am nothing without you, and I owe you everything, right? So if the guy that just saved your life wants a glass of water, you're going to go give him a glass of water, right? So if the person that, if the being, the power that provides you with every single thing that you do or think or move, every everything, so you're going to do his will, and then his will is that it's good for you. So that's kniya. But you think about how puny man is. So number four, he's thinking about how what does it say? Anu malei yavon. We can't possibly fulfill our obligations to the Almighty. We can't. And that's also a theme throughout the Sefer, that you really can't. And that's where he says his famous thing, that the only way you could really get Olam Haba is either if Hashem just shows mercy to you, or if you are makar of others, if you make people, others aware of Hashem, so then your schusim multiply exponentially, and maybe you can then catch up, because, right, it's coming in multiples. So that's the famous, but this is a theme throughout the Sefer, that you know, otherwise you can't make it. It's not possible. Number five, we're at the bottom, the last line of page Reish Aleph. To think about Godless Hashem, this is also something we don't do. And if we would say Psukah Dezimra maybe a little slower, we would have 10 minutes a day when we would do this, 12 minutes a day. But now, if I would go, Hashem, Akel HaGodol HaGibor HaNora, what's there to think about? But the Chavis HaVodos now spends the longest paragraph in the whole parak telling you how you're supposed to think about how great Hashem is. Great meaning, we don't know what it means. But you've talked to people who stand, and he's going to say this, I'm anticipating what he's going to say. You go to people who stand by the Grand Canyon, or they stand by a great ocean, or mountain ranges, and they see the sky with all the stars, and they just feel insignificant and puny, and they're just awed. And that's like one fraction of the Godless Hashem, because that's his creations, and he has many, many, many more creations. You ever see this thing they sent around the internet with you see a leaf, and then it shows you, you go like 10 miles up, and then 100 miles up, first you see the leaf, then you see the tree, and then you go into outer space. You ever see that? And it's like a slideshow, and you keep seeing, and then all of a sudden you're out in the Milky Way, and you're out in the galaxies, and you're seeing the whole thing, and then it goes the other way. It goes into the leaf with a microscope, and you see the leaf, and then you see all the things in the leaf, and it's uncanny. At both ends, they look the same. At both ends, they look the same. It's a Muradic slideshow. Anyway, you see that, and that's from a leaf, one leaf of one tree. And so that's what the Chazal wants you to think about these things. Kasher Yisbonen. I say the closest we come to it is maybe Kilon Shara Bechina, or maybe in Psukah Dezimra, really, is when we do talk about these things a little. But you have to study the Siddur. You have to get a Sefer to study what it's saying, or at least study Tehillim, because it's Tehillim mostly. Study the words, and here people give shiurim on it. It's on tape, it's in books. They describe, Hallelujah Hashem min Hashemayim, Hallelujah Bamromim, Hallelujah Kol Malach, Hallelujah Kol Tzav. They describe it. Kashe Yizbonim Beromimus Habori Yisalav HaFalas Yecholto, and his ability to carry out his will, and you see earthquakes, tornadoes, whatever. Hamashkif al Negleu v'Nistaro, which in a some small way shows his presence to us. The Yisor b'Nafsho as Adobo Hanora Hazer. Contemplate the following, and he has an interesting approach with all this, because he always relates it to the human experience. So he says, if you would come across, imagine you're going to come across a Tana, that the Tana has the ability, that they were so great and so holy and so Nora, the Kachomram Nosum Einavbo, Manasa Gal Shalatsomos. They had the ability to look at someone, we don't even know what it means, and the person would be burnt. Gal Shalatsomos means he would be burnt with a consuming fire. He would be burnt up. Just by the Tana looking at him, calling down forces of supernatural, I don't know, Aish, Kedusha. The Omru al Yonis ibn Aziel, a famous thing, Shayadurish Batira, called Ov Shayaparechol of Nisram. This is real. So that's a Tana. So if you imagine you're sitting in a room with a Tana, you'd be scared to move. People, you're scared to move. Even nowadays, people go to a Gadol, like they're scared, they're gonna, you know, they're afraid to move. You're gonna say the wrong thing, you're gonna, right? That's. But if you imagine a Tana that has the ability to noson einavbo menasa gal shalatzamos, so you're going to be pretty nichna. Now, then he says, now think of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im were much more than the Tanoim. The Tanoim pale in comparison against a Navi that spoke with Hashem and communed with Hashem. So now think, after you finish thinking about the Tana that could make you a Gal Shalatzomos, if you act improperly, he has that Kedusha, that ability. Now think of the Nevi'im, who are 10 times more than the Chachamim. Vein Sovik Himalas on Nevi'im Lamalami Ma'alosom. Okay. Now the Nevi'im are terrified of Malachim. Malachim are real beings. Hashem created Malachim. They are beings, celestial beings. Now these Nevi'im, you wouldn't sit in a room with a Tana. Right? Now, and then I got a Navi, and the Nevi'im are terrified, I'm sure, rightfully so, of the Malachim. Malachim are Ruchnius Nika beings. The Timzish are Nevi'im, Misrofafim Kochoseim, they are weak-kneed, they go wobbly and scared, the Korim u'mishtachadim, the Eith Pokshemus ha-Malachim, K'moshenema b'Daniel, b'Yecheskel, b'Yoshua, b'Rabim Kamosam. Now, this is like way beyond our comprehension. I mean, the Tana was beyond their comprehension already, because we don't even know what it means. We're not sure what it means. We don't know what it means. We think it means it's magic. Wave the magic wand. And they burnt up the guy. And of course, the tints of the Sefer Ha'emesh, Malachim Karim U'mishtachavim L'shem Yisaleh. Karim U'mishtachavim, by the way, means that they had total bittul. That's what it means to be mishtachavim. You lay down on the floor, it means you're making a statement that you're nothing. You're laying down flat on the floor, and that's the Malachim. You see, we don't even, like, tells us, yeah, of course, well, Hashem is Hashem, but you go up these Madregas, Kamro Tzvor Shemayim L'chomish Tachavim, V'omar Heim Ba'avodav Lo Yamin, U'v'malachav Yosem Tohola, V'omar Ve'cholo Kulu Amar Kavod, Yomar V'korel V'olzev V'yomar, So that's already an intellectual contemplation. The Tana, the Navi, the Malach, and you're already like melting, and then Hashem. Then he says, look at the things you can experience with yourself and see. Kegoyin Hashemesh. Again, you go study the sun, try to look at the sun, study the sun. You see how immensely powerful the sun is. Now the sun is just one of Hashem's bruim, and then there are many suns, right? Vayareach, Vakochovim. There's so many galaxies. Well, we're in the Milky Way. Where are we? We're in the Milky Way. Then there's a lot of other galaxies. At least without the comic book said that I read. It's always. But there are. I mean, the Milky Way is just one galaxy, and you know how many stars there are. So you're supposed to study these things again, and you're supposed to be nirta from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're supposed to. You're supposed to study these things and think about it. The Hagalgal, the earth, the Oretz, and Vasher Alehem and Adomim. You go to a mountain range. People who have been to, like I said, the Alps or the Grand Canyon, it's like very. Niagara Falls, they feel overwhelmed, totally overwhelmed. And that's like one billionth of Hashem's bruin. That Someach, maybe the rainforest, face the forest, the jungle, the Hachai. If you go to, you know, on a safari, I don't know, we live in civilization, we don't even see horses, buffaloes, gorillas, you know, all these things in the wild that they run in packs. It's very fearsome. If you watch these documentaries or newsreels, it's extremely fearsome. Monkeys and all kinds of animals, zebras. I'm just saying what I know. Like, there's hundreds I don't know, obviously. And they travel in packs, and it's very scary, you know. And they're powerful, and they yell, and they beat their chests. And that's just the animals that Hashem made. You have all the kochavim, and all the mountains, and all the oceans, and everything. Anyway, yesh dai l'misha haven v'hiskel, someone with a shtickle brains in his head, certainly could develop kenia just by contemplating the natural universe. That's really what number five is. The greatness of Hashem by studying. And this is already the big things, right? When you go down the other way, like on that slideshow, and it showed you like the DNA, and you see like the complexity, the sheer complexity of the seed. Like every seed has stored with data. It's stored with data. How much data is in a seed? More than a computer. No. More than an average computer in a little seed. It's full of data. How it should grow and how it should produce. So you get so you want to think about these things. Gomar Goyim Kayan Negdo. Gomar Kol Dairi Yara Kolocha Shivan. Now, again, he wants it to be real. So you're supposed to go gradually. What is a man? El Kadur Ha'oretz, we gotta be the whole planet. And then the planet, El Agalgal Hayareach. And then Hayareach, Biachas Lagalgal Ha'elyon, which I guess is something like the galaxy. When you see pictures of it, you get a little picture, a little feeling for what he's talking about. And he lived 1,000 years ago. This is like kid stuff. If he would, I don't know what he would write. He's talking like, I don't know, without microscopes, without telescopes, without just, he's describing it from whatever they knew then. Look at 1,000 years ago. You gotta see the slideshow with the leaf of the tree. I'm telling you. I think Joe will send it to me. It was on a year ago. He sent it on a year ago. You can't even. Voz Yira, the bottom line is that although every person has an ego, and every person has a sense of self, and every person feels capable of controlling his own fate. This is the problem with the human condition. Tavis Halova says it countless times in the Sefer, that we think we are the masters of our fate because we're arrogant and we feel we're in control. And we feel, and it's absurd, it's ridiculous. When you contemplate all these things, you feel kniya, and you feel like David HaMelech describes so often in Tehillim, that he feels like nothing and a zero, and tolaz v'lo ish, and kolo hoya, and you just, again, but then, that's, it's only supposed to, not only, it's supposed to make you feel totally dependent on Hashem. But then you turn it around and you feel good. You feel happy, you feel joyful, you feel lucky. You feel lucky that you're able to connect to such a being. And then, you know, you do mitzvahs, you can learn Torah, you can bond with him. But that's not what he's talking about here. I'm just keep saying it, so you should, because someone learning Chavis HaBavos could think that this is a recipe for depression and a recipe for sadness. And all the things we learn about Simcha is still true. And in a way, Adarabba, maybe not in a way, maybe directly, Adarabba, because all this is true, so we're supposed to feel Ashreinu Matol Chalkeinu, feel very lucky that we're able to move and to exist and to think and to do things and to connect. And look how small we are. We could easily be, right, the mosquito or the cockroach that you killed an hour ago, stepped on it. We're not that different from the cockroach. We're not that far removed in relation to what the Chavis HaBavos described in this paragraph, in relation to the universe, to the whole universe and all the things that he describes there. We're not different than the cockroach, but we are different, and that's why you're supposed to feel good. Okay, stop it. Thank you.